So as we are in the process of getting ready for any given week, I will often sit down at my desk. Usually I start the process on Monday, and I will read through the scripture passage that is going to be associated with this Sunday. Sometimes I will record the gospel message and make the video that Monday morning and send it off to Paul on an email. And, you know, sometimes the internet actually makes sure it gets there, which is kind of really handy when that happens. But sometimes I read the message that has been assigned to a given Sunday, and I think to myself, what are they doing to me? Why, oh why, would they make these particular scriptural suggestions and selections? And this was definitely one of those weeks. You know, you might look at it and say, well, you know, I guess the Revised Common Lectionary is more of an international resource. Maybe they're not thinking about what's happening here in the United States, except for the fact that I know that this is compiled at Vanderbilt University, which is definitely in the United States. And so somebody somewhere must have looked at that date and went, hey, we've put these scripture passages on Father's Day. Is this the right choice? Because when you read the passages for this Sunday and you look at them carefully, you think to yourself, boy, they've kind of gone hard on fathers, haven't they? This is a bit of a tough scripture passage to use. And so, I think every so often, when I look at the scriptures on a Sunday, ooh, are those the passages I want to have for the sermon this Sunday? Maybe I'll change them. And you know what? Whenever I look at the scripture passages on a Sunday and I say, ooh, are those the passages I want to have on this Sunday? Maybe I'll change them. Do you know what I do every single time? I keep them. I keep them because of a fellow by the name of Tom Ridenour. You all don't know Tom Ridenour, but he was my homiletics professor. That is our fancy seminary way of saying he was my preaching teacher. And so he was a character, true character, from the mountains of North Carolina. And he had a tendency to say whatever actually came into his mind. Very little filter, which is surprising for a preaching professor. And so one of the things that he used to say is that when you preach on Sunday, it should always be a way to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. So if a passage makes you uncomfortable when you read it, then it's probably doing its job. There's something important to be had there. So I read the passage for this Sunday and I go, ooh, gotta be an easier thing to have on a Father's Day Sunday than follow the gospel and maybe you won't get along with your father. Uncomfortable. But then I read it and I thought about it and I meditated on it. I went through the week with that message in my mind, in the back of my mind. That's part of my technique. It's you know, everybody who preaches has a technique. My technique is Monday morning, I read the passages, maybe do a little research on them, think a little bit about them, and then I spend Tuesday and Wednesday, and it's just in my mind. I'm thinking about it. It's just sort of in the background. And then Thursday, I sit down and I go, okay, all this stuff that's been bouncing around in my head all week, what does it mean? And I put it all together. And as I was putting it all together this week and I was thinking to myself, what does it mean? I thought, you know what? It's probably a good thing that we have these passages on Father's Day Sunday. Because if we're going to celebrate fathers, and we should, and I say that as a father, I have four children. If we're going to celebrate fathers and the relationships that we have with them, we probably should, under pretty much every circumstance, be celebrating are the relationship that we have with our Father in heaven first and foremost. Because the relationship that we have with our Father in heaven isn't just an important thing. And this is, of course, the main purpose of Jesus' conversation. It is the important thing. That without that relationship, all other relationships cannot come to any degree of success. When my children were born, especially my oldest, and it's not that somehow my oldest is better than the rest, it's just that the first time you do it, you gotta figure some stuff out. because you come into it cold. Nobody gives you a really great instruction or course on how you do the whole parenting thing. So with the first one, you're kind of figuring stuff out. And I remember when my oldest was born, having that surreal moment when we were leaving the hospital and you're taking the child out of the building for the first time. And on some level, you feel like, surely they're not going to let me leave the building with this infant. Like, shouldn't there be like a certification course, a license? I mean, I had to take driver's ed for 6 months before they let me drive a car. They're just setting me loose with a whole human being. What exactly is it that I don't know that I should know that I don't know that I should know? So, you know, you take that newborn infant out to your car for the first time, feeling like a little bit of an imposter. You're like, what am I going to do with this whole human being? And you can read books, and Lord knows there's a gajillion books out there on how you do fatherhood and parenthood and how you raise children. By the way, they all disagree with each other. So good luck reading the books, because chances are everyone you read is going to tell you how the other ones are wrong. And so you might find yourself just thinking, what is it that I'm supposed to do? I got great advice from some great dads, people who had done the job themselves and understood the ins and the outs. And I got a lot of information from them, like, all kids are different. You just got to wait and see what that one's like. That information, by the way, did not seem helpful in the moment, but as my children grew older, I realized that he was completely right, that they really do kind of come with personalities baked in. You just got to figure out how you work around them. I had another one tell me, well, what's important is that you show up. Oh, that was a very important piece of information. In life, a lot of it is showing up, being there, being present. And not just being present in the sense that, well, I made an appearance, but like genuinely being present and caring. That was a great piece of advice. Be there, show up. And of course, if you love your children, then you figure out the rest of the pieces. But of course, then the question becomes, how do you do that effectively? How do you love your children effectively? Because guess what? We don't come with that information already programmed into our brains either. We figure things out. We try stuff. That's, again, maybe why your oldest is in some ways important, because you experiment on them. And then you figure out what happens after that. Like, oh, that worked, that didn't work. Let's try this differently. But there's great joy in being a father. That joy is found in loving. That joy is found in discovering who these people are that you've created. Yeah, that's what parenthood is. You made some people. Let's find out who they are. You get to experience the wonder of being part of a family. Loving your spouse and having them be your partners in everything you do. Learning who your children are and celebrating that. And then loving them with all that you can. And as we read today's gospel passage today, and Jesus is talking about his Father in heaven, who is our Father in heaven as well, he is talking about how much our Father in heaven loves us and how much our Father in heaven is willing to do for us and what he is willing to sacrifice for us and what he is willing to set aside and give to us. So I guess they really did write a book that is authoritative on how to be a father. It just happens to be talking about a lot of other things as well, so we don't title it Information on How to Be a Father. We just call it the Bible. But it's in there. Jesus is talking to his disciples about it in this very passage, about how much God loves his people, what he's willing to do for them. And of course, Jesus is talking about himself and how he is going to be a sacrifice for humanity. We are blessed to have the love of a father like that. We're blessed to have the fathers in our lives that God gives us. And for those of us whose fathers are now with our Father in heaven, we're blessed to share in the knowledge that we'll be gathered together again, that the grace that our Lord Jesus Christ has provided us is a grace that includes life after death, so that those who have yet to be reunited with their loved ones in the next world have the promise that it will come, and that the pain that we experience yet here in this life is not permanent. That's how much our Father in heaven loved us, was to provide us with certainty that we will be again together with our loved ones, our parents, our fathers. And that's an incredible love. So as we pause together on this Sunday morning, and the good folks at Vanderbilt University give us a fairly complicated set of texts, we're not going to shy away from the fact that it says, hey, there's some conflict that's oriented with this. This is hard stuff. This is going to be difficult. This might actually make your life challenging. And yes, if you're comfortable, it might make you feel a little afflicted, because there are ways that you are supposed to live and order your life, one of which is to place your Father in heaven above all else, and that might cause some difficulty in this life. But then in doing so, you are living as your Father in heaven lived. You are loving as your Father in heaven loved, and you are learning how to love your own children. And that in this Father's Day Sunday, we are reminded of our Father's love in heaven that is to be reflected in our own lives, the promises that come with that, the grace and the mercy that comes with that, the life everlasting that comes with that. We're thankful for all of these gifts that we have received. We're thankful for this text that challenges us and reminds us that it's not always going to be easy to follow God, but that it is good, and that it brings wholeness and completeness, and that it brings blessings. Blessings for our fathers. Blessings for us who are fathers. Blessings for those of us who are yet waiting to be together with our fathers in heaven. Blessings even for those of us who have complicated relationships with our fathers, that all of this is part of what Jesus was preaching about. So I say to you all this Father's Day Sunday, may God bless you. May God bless you who are fathers. May God bless you who have fathers that you have great relationships with. May God bless you who have fathers that you are waiting to spend time with in heaven when you are reunited with them. May God bless you with his love that knows no boundaries, that Jesus is proclaiming. Amen.